Amen. Man, what a privilege it is to be able to sing about this night, to be able to actually come and celebrate this. I look forward to Christmas Eve every year, and Oh Holy Night is like the pinnacle. I'm sorry, there's a come down for the sermon. I apologize for that. But mostly, we just get to sing about Jesus, tell a story. Remind people that this gospel is true. And what we believe, I just want to make no bones about it, what we believe is that God who made the world became flesh, dwelt among us, lived, died, rose from the dead, and he is here and present and moving in this place, and one day he shall come again to make all things right. That's why it's a holy night. It's a holy night because it is holy for everybody. The opportunity that we have to love God, love one another, for us to be able to create the world that God intended originally is truly only possible because of this night. I wonder, actually, on occasion, what I would give advice for to Mary. Like, if I were to get there and, you know, and I know the last 2,000 years and what advice that I would have for her, I think it would be the advice. The only bit of advice, actually, that I got when my wife was pregnant that actually rings true still. Most of it doesn't really, although the person who told us that get the baby to sleep, because when the baby sleeps, everyone else sleeps, and then everyone else is happy, that's up there, but it's nowhere near as true consistently as don't blink. Make sure you treasure the moments because it goes so fast. What's remarkable to me is just how fast everything seems to go. And what I like about Christmas Eve is it provides some sense of consistency. You know that tonight we're going to end with Silent Night. I'm going to go walk over to the Christ candle. I'll light it. It will then spread from person to person all the way up to the second balcony, and we are going to sing Silent Night. It's a sense of permanence in a world that is a little crazy, in a world that changes all the time. I keep getting reminded of just how quick it goes. My first Christmas here as a pastor was 15 years ago. I started off here as an associate pastor with no job description because I was here to start a young adult ministry, and we didn't have any young adults then. And things have changed in the last 15 years. And I was invited to preach Christmas Eve. My first Christmas Eve, I was a pastor here because Charles, who had always preached the 11 p.m. Christmas Eve sermon, was gone over Christmas that year, and Robert gave me the nod and said, "Hey, you're going to preach it." And I thought I'd just hit a home run. I hadn't even preached yet, and I thought I hit a home run. Because I was preaching on Christmas Eve is one of the coolest things. Getting to stand on this chancel and be able to share the light of Christ is just unbelievable. I didn't realize, though, that actually the most memorable bit of that first Christmas Eve would not be Silent Night. You see, we had just come back from a youth ski trip, back when, you know, ski resorts were reasonable in prices. And our student ministry had just gone, and they had gotten, Plano and Frisco, I think, had gotten out so early before Christmas that we were able to drive to Crested Butte on a bus and drive back before Christmas Eve. And I made some of my favorite friends on that trip, just people that I remained close to. And there's nothing, by the way, like overnight bus trips with high school kids to bond adults against them. Like, it's just crucial to navigate, you know, a united front when you've got 40 high school kids creating chaos in the back. And yet, it was those relationships with the kids that still bring me just pause. Because one of those kids that I was on that trip with was held the door open for me yesterday at the Hasley Chapel, or Sunday at the Hasley Chapel, because I was doing a baptism of another kid who was on that, of the child of another kid who was on that trip. And what I remember most actually was them telling me, we were on a ski lift, and them telling me, so back then we only had traditional worship at St. Andrew. Contemporary was something we launched in 2012. And I wore a robe that was very, well, it's the one I still have, but it's a cassock. It's a little form-fitting. It's kind of, I didn't realize it, that they told me that I looked like I came straight out of Hogwarts. And they thought I looked like, wait for it, Tom Riddle. Voldemort. This was like the young Voldemort when he came back. And I was like, wait a minute, time out. You guys are sitting there, the whole students are sitting there thinking that I'm the bad guy, that I look like the bad guy from Harry Potter. And they go, oh yeah. And then at the 11 p.m. Christmas Eve service, they're sitting right here in the third or fourth row, and they decide to bring a Hey Tom Riddle sign in the middle of my sermon. You know, it's funny what you remember when you realize that that was 15 years ago, and that moment I think was just yesterday. But it was before I met my wife, before we did three rounds of IVF to have two kids, before we launched Contemporary, before so many things in my life have changed, and I can't even imagine, believe all the things that God had in store for me. That God was going to do with me on that night when I was getting made fun of as the bad guy from Harry Potter while I'm preaching about the light of Jesus. And yet I love that moment because here I am still connected to relationally and emotionally these kids that I got to invest in. And it's those things that actually matter the most. Those things, the relationships, are more permanent. And they're only permanent because there is something to bind us together that is more permanent than anything else. Things are gonna change, we know this. You win an election, you might not win the next one. You might not win the one after that, you might not. It's crazy, the world shifts all the time. The job you have, you may not have it next Christmas. The relationships you have that you currently think, man, that is never going anywhere. Listen, I bet you could name someone you haven't talked to much since last Christmas. And last Christmas, had I said something, you'd been like, oh no. But that's not the way the world works, is it? It changes over and over and over again. My mom recently told me, I can't believe that getting old happened this quick. Things change. The reason why I believe we come on Christmas Eve is because we're looking for something permanent. You know, there are a lot of people who come on Christmas Eve that I won't see for another year. And I've thought a lot about it. Mostly, I'm just glad you're here tonight. Whoever it is you are and why you're here. Some of y'all go to other churches, some of you dragged here by parents, some of you just want to be here because this is your practice on Christmas Eve. And I've got a theory, I think, because normally we average a little over 2,000 in person on a weekend here in this place. And yet tonight, and for our Christmas Eve candlelight services, we're gonna have 6,000-7,000-ish people show up in a couple days. And I think the reason is because we're looking for something that actually matters, something consistent, something that stands out, something in this chaotic world where we used to imagine our jobs would last us for 40 years, and now we're lucky on our resume, oh, they were there 3 years, that's a long time. We need something more permanent. Christmas is that moment because what we know is that the permanent God came to earth, that there is actually something more permanent, and it's God. There's a whole clip going out recently this year of a comedian. It's a Christian comedian. Not all his stuff's PC. Even this clip isn't PC, and he's talking about God. But he has an entire pitch. Pete Holmes is his name, and he's got an entire pitch where he describes there are two kinds of people in the world. You've got the God people and the nothing people. And the nothing people look at the God people and say, well, you can't see, taste, smell, or touch that God. And they go, well, you know what? You believe in nothing, which you can't see, taste, smell, or touch. And he goes, but you know what doesn't exist? Nothing. Why? Because we're here. Actually, at the 2 o'clock service, some kid in the back just yelled, nothing doesn't exist? crazy physics note, which I didn't plan on getting into, but on occasion when I get up here, I do it anyway. If you have a vacuum in space, there are still particles that pop in and out of existence. Why? Because you can't have nothing. Because our world is something. Because there is something that existed before all that there ever was. I don't know if Pete Holmes knew it or not, but he was creating a joke around Thomas Aquinas in the 14th century, crafting his proofs for God. He's arguing this basic bit. Do you know what doesn't? What certainly exists? We do. We are here tonight in a space, and you are not here by accident. We are not here by accident. And the only reason it's possible, the only reason it's possible is that there is something permanent that came into our world. There is something permanent. I'm gonna read to you two scriptures. I'm gonna put them up on the screen simultaneously because you need to understand that Jesus is God is not a claim that came centuries after Jesus. It is original to those who knew and walked with and cared about Jesus. Here it is in John, in the first chapter, in the 18th verse. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father and has made him known. Then you got to jump forward to Colossians, a letter by Paul. They were different people. These are different witnesses, testimonies, all within the first few decades after Jesus rose from the dead. These are the people that knew him, and he says this, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." If you are looking for something more permanent tonight, I'm going to suggest that it is not me. It's not even St. Andrew. There was a senior pastor before me. His name was Robert. I loved him a lot. There will be a senior pastor after me. Praise God. Hopefully I do my job well and I hand it over. There were churches before St. Andrew. There will be other churches that proclaim the name of God. Do you know the only thing that's actually permanent is the one who made the world? The one that when there was nothing but God made all that we can see, hear, taste, smell, or touch. I got nervous, by the way, when my wife and I were doing IVF that it was gonna ruin some of the magic of life for me, right? Because I don't know, I'd never, microscopes weren't my specialty. Philosophy, physics, theology, but not microscopes. That was not, when you realize that the best that humanity can do is manipulate what God already made, you all of a sudden look up and you go, oh, well, we have no idea how to create life. It's the old joke that a scientist got in a fight with God and said, look, I can create life. So he bends down and starts to put dirt together and God looks down and goes, use your own dirt. You can't do anything without the one that made all that is and was and will ever be. Because that one is the one that made all things. He's the firstborn of all creation. What they're saying in John and in Colossians, and when you read the Old Testament well, you realize that what we're articulating is the truth that there has to be something that existed before there was, and we discovered on Christmas that that person was Jesus. So that when there was darkness and God said, let there be light, the light of the world who is Jesus was present in that moment. That when you realize that when Abraham was called and the goal was to redeem all of the world, Jesus was present. That when Moses gets a message from burning bush, that Jesus was present. And it was on this night when humans got to meet the permanent God who became temporary in a human body for them. For us, he chose to become creation. Creator became created. Infinite became infant. You and I got to meet our God. And it's why when I try to articulate for you how to live your best life, how to love your family well, how to love your kids well, how to do your job well, how to be a good American well, all of these things are made better when you get to align yourself with the one who made you, with the permanent thing. We mess up too often when we elevate our kids, God forbid, kids' sports, and we decide to worship that. Actually, God has forbidden us from elevating even our spouse, even our families to the point where we worship them. It's wrong. Why? Because the only thing worth worshiping is God. The right way to do it is to organize it where your work, your marriage, your kids, your family, where everything becomes congruent and everything points to the one permanent thing that will never disappear. Do you know who was there? While you were in your mother's womb, Psalm says that God knew you and loved you. Do you know who will be there the moment you take your last breath? The one who made you and knows you and loves you. Do you know the only hope that we have in this temporary and permanently changing world is the God who was permanent and said, oh, I'll become temporary for them and I'll show them that I will die and I will beat even death. We are here because of a rescue plan. Because actually what our job is to do is to recognize that we are not the light. Rather, our privilege is to testify to the light. Because the light that was the light of all things came into being. And our privilege is to be able to serve one another, love one another, orient our lives to the one thing that will never change, which is the God who made us. The trick to this, by the way, so we still have a church tomorrow, is you tilt the unlit candle. Friends, as we come here, the light is going to get passed. And the band's going to play for a minute or two. As we pass the light all the way through the room, the band's going to play, and I want you to pray about one thing. I want you to pray about how this Christmas, into this new year, you are going to be able to live your life more aligned with the one permanent thing, which is God. So as we go, would you stand and sing Silent Night? Because this story is the story that will redeem all things.